Well, in case you missed it, this past Thursday, it was the day of the Ascension of the Lord. For those of us who keep track of the liturgical calendar, it is a holy day of obligation among our Episcopal and Roman Catholic friends. And that means you have to go to church. Now, we Presbyterians, we're not quite that up on the liturgical calendar yet. We used to never pay any attention to it, but now over the last 20 or 30 years, it's becoming increasingly important, for we find our unity with our Christian brothers and sisters as we worship along the same lines. Now, unity is a difficult topic for most of us Christians. We tend to confuse unity with uniformity. In other words, in unity, we bring all of our gifts to bear, all of our different abilities, all of our different colors and races and creeds. We come together under one umbrella, and that is unity. Uniformity is a little bit different because uniformity involves the use of what I like to call quality control people. You know them. They're the ones who say who's in and who's out. I have been kicked out of more organizations than I care to think about because I didn't meet the quality of personnel that they really wanted. In fact, some of those organizations that won't have me, I'm very proud to say I'm an ex-member of. You learn to embrace disappointment in this profession. Unity and uniformity. Jesus Christ here is talking about the blessings of unity. He doesn't want us all to be cookie cutter Christians. He wants us to bring our God-given gifts to this assembly, which is the body of Christ. And unlike the quality control people, we recognize that when one person is missing, we are all the poorer for it. You know, I consider Sue Spivey one of my good friends because she understands this concept of unity. When you serve at the local church and the presbytery level and the synod level, you see all manner of Presbyterians, and you learn that you can't really define what a Presbyterian is because we're all considerably different, and we embrace that. For those of you who don't know, the Presbyterian Church is made up of four distinct governing bodies. You have the session, you have the presbytery, you have the synod, and you have the general assembly. And some people would say that the general assembly is the source from which all wickedness comes. I want to disavow you of that notion if you hold it. Now that we have split amongst our various churches and presbyteries and synods and even part of the General Assembly, we can sit back and catch our breath and focus on the things that unite us instead of the things that divide us. And that is a very important lesson to learn. I served on Synod Council for a number of years. And like Sue, I can tell you, Presbyterians are more identified by their lack of uniformity than by anything else. My little church down in Bainbridge, Georgia, was known as the place where all the misfits of the community could come and find a home. All the crazy people found their way to the Presbyterian Church. And I finally asked a few of them, why did you choose this as your church home? And they said, nobody else would have us. Being a Presbyterian is everybody's favorite second choice. You don't know what you want to be, you become a Presbyterian. We're glad to have you come and be a part of the menagerie of madness that is us. We embrace it. That's who we are. Jesus did not prescribe uniformity. He prescribes unity in this passage. If you go to our epistle lesson from Acts, Jesus gives the last words to the disciples before he is assumed into heaven. And when he is assumed into heaven, they're standing there looking heavenward. And these two angels show up and say, why are you staring up into the sky? Which is another way of saying, you have work to do down here. Quit staring at the sky. The same way he went, he will come again. And by the way, you don't know when, where, or how, and you never will. That's one of the problems I run into with the quality control people. They think that they know the day and the hour and the place of the second coming of Jesus Christ, and they think that everybody has to be, groomed up to look like a Christian for when Jesus comes again. And only they know what a Christian is supposed to look like. Our work is not found in casting our eyes toward heaven. That is looking to the past. That is making a monument to a moment. That is not our calling. Our calling is to take our eyes off the heavens and the glory thereof and to see the mud that is on our feet and to go about proclaiming the love of God, which brings all of us under this big umbrella. You know, when you finally give up the idea that you have to be a quality control expert, when you give up the idea that somehow you have to be a branch manager in the kingdom of God, it really frees you up. It frees you from this idea that we've got to tweak everybody else and leave ourselves alone. It frees you up to experience God's presence and God's movement among God's people everywhere. It moves you from being a manager to being a devoted observer. That's what God calls us to be. This unity we have is a very elusive one, mostly because we never really know what God is up to. The only thing that helps us to see where God is to look out from this perch right here. One of the great honors of being a pastor is you get to see the hand of God moving in the members of the church. It's hard to see that from sitting in the midst of the congregation, but let me assure you, he's hard at work in your lives. He's hard at work in every moment you have, in every breath you take. I'm honored to see it from up here. And I encourage you to pause and look among the members of this church and see the hand of God moving in this elusive unity which is ours. Wonderful chapters are about to open here. It's important that we celebrate Sue, who has brought so much grace and love and inspiration to these walls and others. It's important for us to use that example as we observe the hand of God moving in our midst. Sue, you can defend yourself at lunch, but for right now, I get the final word. God bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Now and always. And to those of us who are gathered here to thank her for her work, Remember, she is but an instrument of Almighty God, bringing to us fellowship and love, instruction, sometimes correction, and always the gift of grace. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have given us this elusive unity in which we celebrate our differences, for therein lies our strength. Your Holy Spirit calls us to the work of the kingdom. May we, your children, find within ourselves the resources, the grace, and the manifold gifts of the Spirit, which call us to work together in joy and in love. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen.